That is Al Boley and Ray Noble and his orchestra, and a song called Ring Around the Moon. And that's the title of the play that's being put on at the Nottingham Lace Market Theatre, 23rd to the 28th of June. And to tell us more about it is Peter Conowalik. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Morning, Kev. I'm fine, thank you.
Oh, great stuff. I'll tell you what, this new phone system that we've got, it takes a bit of getting used to, but you sound brilliant over the phone. It's almost as if you're in the studio with us. Thankfully, we've got a decent phone system. So now then, it's been a while since we last spoke, and I can't remember what it was we spoke about. But Ring Around the Room, the Moon, is by Christopher Fry and Jean. Is it how do you pronounce her name or his name?
Jean. I'll put my best French accent on. Jean-Henri.
Jean-Henri. Ah, there you go, that'll do me. So, just before we do get on to talk about the actual production itself, it's always interested me how the Lace Market go about sourcing plays for the season, because, I mean, there are, you know, limitless amounts of plays that that people can put on. And this is yet another one which I've not heard of. So it's always an education for me to go and see these plays, which I've absolutely never heard of. So how do they go about sourcing what plays they're going to put into a particular season?
OK, so for a given season, there's a group which we put together called the PAG, Programme Group, and they invite all members to submit plays that they would like to do. And I was on the PAG year before last, and ended up reading about 70 plays, which is a bit of a thankless task, to be quite honest, some good, some bad. The leader of the PAG becomes the artistic director for the actual season, and he or she will decide with the group as to which plays are suitable. And they try and put a blend of different plays, modern, classical, edgy, comedy, etc., trying to put together a varied programme for the public, really, to keep them interested in various theatrical plays.
And this is the penultimate one of this season, because we've got The Prince to come after this as well, and then we start with a whole brand new season, which is I can't wait to see what's in it. But tell us about Ring Around the Moon. What's it all about?
What's it all about? Well, it's if you were talking to me in the 1970s, you'd have heard of it, because it was a very popular play in the 1970s. A lot of amateur groups did it then. And the last professional production was 2008, which I saw at a Playhouse Theatre in London, with people like June Whitfield in. J.J. Field played the main part. The play is set in the grounds of a resplendent estate in the French countryside over the course of a very long night of music, dancing and ball gowns, I think is a description. It's quite interesting because it's played at a number of different levels. It's a comedy, it's a romance, it's got farcical elements. We see characters pretending to be somebody they're not, or pretending to love somebody that they don't, or pretending to love somebody they do. Disguising true identities, concealing genuine emotions. It's witty and charming, but there's an underlying theme of wealth and privilege and class as well. So it is there on a number of levels. It's also known as a charade with music. It's not a musical, but there are a couple of dancers, and there's a lot of music which underpins some of the dialogue, particularly in the middle act during the ball. There's an orchestra striking up occasionally.
Now, I know that it's sort of set in the 1930s-ish. So with that in mind, is the music that we're going to be hearing also of that era?
Well, we are a bit anachronistic with the period. It is... could be construed as any time from 1900 through to 1920.
Okay.
It could be set at any time up to the 1950s. One of the reasons we didn't want to set it up in the 1930s is we're doing Private Lives, which is firmly embedded in the 30s, yeah, and clashing with costumes and the like. I've forgotten the question.
Oh, it's about the music that's being used sort of...
Oh, yes, the music was originally... We're using the music that was written for the 1950s production.
Okay, yeah.
It's It's available, written by a chap called Richard Adensell, and there is specific music for specific parts of the play. So we're true to the original.
Oh, brilliant. So if I remember right, is he a classical composer, Richard Adensell?
Light classical.
Yeah. I thought the name rung a bell for some reason. So now, with this sort of the description of what happens within the play, it comes to mind that it's almost Shakespearean with its mistaken identities and scheming and lots of secrets. Have you found any sort of comparisons between maybe Shakespeare and sort of the writers of this play?
Yeah, absolutely. It there is that probably Shakespearean comedies rather than Shakespearean tragedies and history, but there is. And there's other themes. There's a Pygmalion theme. There's a young dancer who arrives, and she's being manipulated by one of the characters to present herself as something she's not at a ball, which really does match a lot of the themes of Pygmalion. So there's an awful lot going off. An interesting thing is the play itself was when Stephen Sondheim and Hal Prince were trying to find a book to base A Little Night Music on.
Yeah.
They tried to get this book, but the people who owned the rights didn't allow them to. They tried for about 10 years before they gave up and went with Smiles of Summer Night by Bergman. So, and again, there's elements of it. Night music is my favourite musical, and there's elements of it which... a distinctly night music. So, you know, it's a potpourri of different styles, shall we say.
I think that's the thing with a lot of musicals, and as you say, this isn't a musical, it's a play with a bit of music in it, but you can spot where the writers and the composers have maybe borrowed something from other productions as well. So yeah, I should be looking out for these bits, because I love sort of making those sort of connections between them. So it's set in the 1950s. What about the costumes? Is it sort of typical 1950s period costumes?
Well, no, as I say, we've been very anachronistic. A lot of the ball gowns could be positioned at any time between 1900 and 1950. The idea is to produce a huge amount of colour. And I said to Max Bromley, who's doing the wardrobe, and incidentally is in it as well, that I wanted to show off the costume department's stock of ball gowns. And they provide a great con. It's an evening and it's at a ball, so the men are wearing black tails, and it's a great counterpoint for the ladies' costumes against the men's black formal attire. So it hopefully is going to be a bit of a splurge of colour.
It's going to be very glamorous as well. I can imagine that, and especially knowing that Max is involved with the wardrobe in it, because the costumes that he's provided to the Lace Market Productions in the past, they are absolutely incredible. And is Max actually in the play in itself?
Yes,
I thought I saw he was. Yeah. So, and am I right in thinking that he's performed in this play before in the past?
Well, this is the second time we've done it. We did it in 1977. Max directed it.
I see.
And one of the characters, I talked about a dancer who arrives at the invitation of one of the characters to disrupt things. It's really the lead part. She's very much an ingenue. That's played by Mandy Hodgson, was played by Mandy Hodgson in 1977, and she's now playing the oldest character, the madame who owns the estate. So there's a massive counterpoint on that. It was interesting at the casting, shall I say, when I cast them. They just smiled.
See, the good thing about that is that they will know. I mean, obviously, they can remember all the way back to the 70s. They're not that old. But they will sort of know the play sort of practically inside out and know the different characters. And I'd say it must be really interesting for Mandy as well to be playing sort of the other sort of edge of the spectrum, really, with playing sort of the younger character in the 70s and now playing the oldest characters. It must be really interesting from her point of view. Let's talk about the set. With it being a sort of, it's a winter garden, as you say, of an estate and a ballroom in it. Is it just a static set? Is there sort of much changing of the set throughout the production?
No, it's what you see is what you get when you walk in. But hopefully what people will be struck by the set. It's designed by Nick Hedges. And I said to Nick, I want something that creates an air of magic during the ball. And he's done that. It's not a box set. It's a fairly sparse stage, and it's very little change on the set. It's all about the dialogue and the story, as opposed to the set itself.
So you've not got the fountain on the set this time around then, as you did back in the 70s?
No.
Good. That's what
I try and limit the worries, to be quite honest.
I don't blame you, not only that, but the front row, they'd be definitely in the splash zone, wouldn't they, with the fountain. So, tickets, how are tickets going? Because I imagine that with this being a play that maybe not a lot of people know, same as myself, it's new to myself, people might be thinking, I don't know it, so I don't want to go and spend money on it. And then other people might be thinking, yes, this is a play that I don't know, let's go and see it. So how are tickets going at the moment?
Not too bad. They are picking up quite a lot, but it's the usual thing at the late market. We sometimes struggle with the lesser known plays at the beginning of the week. And it's not really until things like this interview come out that people start to think about coming. So towards the end of the week is picking up quite nicely. But at the beginning of the week, we could still do with a few people coming and providing an environment for the actors to show themselves off in.
Absolutely. And there's a couple of weeks left. Yeah, anyway, well, nearly a couple of weeks. And anything can happen in that period of time. So where can people buy tickets to come and see Ring Around the Moon?
Well, the best way is via our website, www.lacemarkettheatre.co.uk, because they can go straight on and get tickets. There's a box office number, which is 0115 950 7201. Not always manned, so I don't want people to become frustrated if they're not answering phone calls. The best solution is the website, where they can choose their own ticket wherever they want to sit.
Absolutely, and it's in the main auditorium, isn't it? It's not upstairs.
It's
on the big stage. So go pick your tickets where you want to sit. The seats are gorgeously comfortable. They really are. It's a lovely. If you've never been to the Lace Market Theatre before, it is an absolutely lovely theatre. It's very modern, and the seats are great, and everybody involved in it is just fantastic, I've found. So pop online, go and have a look, get your tickets online, choose where you want to sit, and the only thing you can't sort of get is sort of service right to your seat. That's the only thing they don't offer. But, you know, you're getting a cracking show with Ring Around the Moon from what I've read about it. It looks a brilliant show, and I'm sure it's going to be just as successful as the other plays in the season. And you can find out more, a little bit more, about what's coming up as well when you go there and have a look on the notice boards and everything. So, Peter, it's been lovely speaking to you again. And I can't wait to come down and see this because, as I said, I love stuff which I've never seen before. And this fits into that category brilliantly. It's called Ring Around the Moon. It's on at the Lace Market Theatre, the 23rd to the 28th of June. No excuse really for not seeing it, because it's if you want to get a tram, you can get a tram. The car park is, well, there's a massive car park right at the end of that road. And I also believe you can get discounts on the car parking with getting a ticket to see this. Am I right in that?
Yes, the Lace Market car park, yeah. You can get bring your ticket from the car park upstairs to the bar, and we can put it into a device which charges £4 for the evening.
There you go. Cheaper off the price. So you've got your parking sorted out. You can have a great night's entertainment as well. So what more could you want? Peter, it's been lovely yet again speaking to you, and I shall see you down there 23rd to the 28th of June at the Lace Market Theatre. Thanks for taking your time out, Peter. I shall let you get back to your Sunday, and happy Father's Day.
Yes, thanks for your support as always, Kev.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Peter. Bye-bye.
Bye now.